Stage with Robert Emery.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode number 7. Why is learning a musical instrument so hard and how to solve it? So first of all, this is one of the Odd One Out podcasts. You should know by now that I do this every other time. So next week will be an interview with somebody talking about their career and how they've gone from zero to hero in the world of the entertainment industry. But this week is the Odd One Out. It's just me waffling on about something that I care about. And learning a musical instrument is so difficult, I thought I would just try and encapsulate it in a little podcast. It's going to be a quick one, just to talk about why it's difficult and what you can do about it. 10,000 Hours. The author Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers, The Story of Success. And in it, he said a few things. He said, in fact, by the age of 20, the elite performers, which were the violinists he was talking about, had each totaled 10,000 hours of practice. The emerging picture from such studies is that 10,000 hours of practice is required to achieve the level of mastery associated with being a world-class expert in anything. And that's what the neurologist Daniel Levitin said. And another person said to become a chess grandmaster also seems to take about 10 years. And what's 10 years? Well, it's roughly how long it takes to put in 10,000 hours of hard practice. And just to give you a sort of indication, 10,000 hours, about 3 hours a day, takes over 9 years. So 10,000 hours means that you can become a world-class expert in something. But not everybody wants to become a world-class expert. Some people just want to be able to play the piano or the violin or the guitar. So you don't need actually 10,000 hours to do that. You need considerably less to become good as a standard instead of world class. So I think that's quite encouraging, because some people may think learning an instrument to a decent standard might take 10 years, 15, 20 years. And there's the proof, it doesn't. Adult versus child. Learning as an adult is much more difficult, in my opinion, than learning as a child. And I suppose it's quite common sense. You know, a child is a sponge, essentially, and you can throw anything at them and they'll absorb it and use it, and their brain works so fast that they will be able to sort through all the information and remember it all very quickly. As an adult, as you know, it takes a little bit longer to be able to do this sort of stuff. And there's a few reasons for that. I think one is because adults are scared of making mistakes. And I speak from experience here in my household. I've got 3-year-old master Teddy, and he's not scared of making a mistake. He'll try anything, and if it's wrong, it doesn't really matter. He doesn't really notice it almost. Well, he notices, but he doesn't seem to be affected by it, and he just tries to do something again until he can do it. Whereas me, on the other hand, you know, I don't like doing new things that I know I'm going to fail at first time. It's a sort of a self-defense mechanism. But as an adult, learning an instrument, that's exactly what it is. You know that when you pick up that instrument for the first time, you are going to fail. And that's a difficult thing to handle, because you've got to see past that. You've got to understand that. You've got to accept it. And actually, you've got to not care about it and move on. Another disadvantage of being an adult trying to learn a musical instrument is you're trying to understand too much. The thing is about children is that you can say to them, sit them in front of a piano and you can say, here's middle C, and if you see this type of note, it's called a semibrieve, which means that you hold it on for 4 beats. And they go, okay, fine, there's 3 facts I've learnt, it's in my memory, I can now access it and use it. The amount of adults that I taught over the years, who if I would give those 3 facts to, they would turn around and go, why? Why is that a 4-beat note, not a 2-beat note? Why is that a middle C? Why? What is the reason for all of this? And that is a big downfall with adults, is that they try and understand too much. And theory of music is a really complicated puzzle. And it is like a jigsaw puzzle. There's so many pieces to it. And once you've got enough information about keys, time signatures, all sorts of things, it all sort of clicks together, and all of a sudden it makes sense. Until that point, it feels like it's impossible to understand it all. That's difficult to handle. And then, of course, the other thing that's difficult to handle with an adult is it's very easy to quit. I personally really dislike sports, exercise. And one of the things that I have a big problem with when I try and keep fit and do exercise is that I'm so strong-willed if I have a personal training session. If the PT starts asking me to do something I don't like or I find too difficult, I just won't do it. And I'll say to him or her, no, I'm not doing that. And they'll try and laugh it off and say, yeah, come on, Robert, you can do really well, come on. And I'll turn around and go, no, I don't enjoy that, no. And I can quit just like that. I'm an adult, it's my choice, I could do that. Whereas when you're a child, you don't have that choice unless your parent gives it to you. It's not your own free choice. So those are three things which make a big difference between being an adult and being a child, and why as an adult, it's much more difficult to learn a musical instrument than it is if you're a child. But that's not to say as an adult, you shouldn't try and learn an instrument, because there are success stories and there are people who have picked up an instrument later on in life and have played it to a very high standard and have loved doing so.
Skills.
So when learning a musical instrument, there are fundamentally two skill sets you need to access. One is the physical coordination and the other one is the mental coordination. So let's dissect those a little bit. In my younger days, one of the things I used to do is help train teachers to become better teachers, particularly for children. And one of the things I noticed is that quite often an inexperienced teacher didn't know how to separate the physical skill from a mental skill of learning an instrument. So they were teaching reading music and physically playing the instrument as one. And I never understood that. It didn't ever make sense to me, because using your brain and trying to figure out what note is on the stave, what beat it is, and therefore how long you hold it on for, is such a different skill as you're scanning a page and trying to process that information quickly. It's such a different skill from being able to put your fingers on the piano and independently move your fourth and fifth finger. Now, I would really encourage you to put your fingers flat on a table or on your knee or wherever you may be, and try and move your third finger, which is your middle finger, and your fourth finger, which is the one next to your little finger. So try and move your third and fourth independently of each other. So putting one up, one down, one up, one down, and then repeating that pattern. And try and do this without moving your little finger. A lot of people will find this really difficult, but doing that on a piano is of course very difficult, but trying to do that at the same time as using your brain is even harder.
Teacher.
Having a teacher is obviously an important thing, whether that's a teacher online who you're learning off the internet, maybe on some YouTube videos or on a course you've bought, or a teacher who you see down the road and you have a paid lesson with. I think for me, a teacher should inspire you. You should be able to go to that person and hear and watch them play, be inspired by it, and they should be encouraging you to make those mistakes. They should be encouraging you to keep practicing. And one of the really difficult jobs as a teacher is to balance the pushing of you, the client, hard, but not as hard that you start to resent the work. So I know from when I used to teach children and adults, I know that the thing I found particularly difficult is being strict enough and being hard enough to say to the pupils, come on, you can do better than this. Try and spend a bit more time during the week on this because you're going to be rewarded for it. And they're not resenting me for the fact that I'm pushing them. That's a really difficult skill to achieve. But if you can find a teacher who will inspire you, who will encourage you to make mistakes, and who has a great balance of pushing you hard, but not so hard as you resent the work, then you've got a great teacher.
Commitment.
And of course, it also comes down to your personal commitment and how much you practice. One of the big problems about learning to play a musical instrument is not enough time and research is done on how one should practice. This is a really important thing because this is the make or break of you or your child being able to play the instrument. In day-to-day life, As an adult, we spend a lot of time setting up our processes. That's how we deal with emails on a daily basis. Do we read them as they come in? Do we block batch them and only read them maybe 3 times a day? What email system do we use? How do we communicate? There are some people in business who use programs like Slack or Asana. These are programs, sort of productivity programs, to be used to communicate to others in your group. It's about having breaks, having a regular break. So are you one of these people who sits at your desk for 4 hours and doesn't move and just works? Or are you one of these people who you do a 40-minute block and then you go and take a 10-minute walk? There are so many people who do so many different things, but the crucial thing is, as adults, we all at some point take a conscious decision on how we're going to operate our working life. Now, the amount of people who also play an instrument who do not make the same conscious decision about how they operate their practice time is astonishing. Because when you're practicing, you have a limited amount of time, so you need to be efficient. You need to find a way to be efficient, because with efficiency comes success, and with success comes more motivation. So you have to know that things are going to sound terrible at first, but that's okay, because that's a temporary phase which you're going to move very quickly onto the next one if you have a good practice regime. So I would really encourage people who are starting out playing a musical instrument to do 5 minutes a day, no more. Even if they want to do more, don't allow yourself or your child to do any more. And then the following week, do 5 minutes plus 1 minute, 6 minutes a day. And then the following week, 7 minutes a day. I mean, you can see where this is heading. But it's the same with the dieting. It's the same with exercise. It's the same with anything that you need to do on a regular basis to achieve a result, which is, do not overshoot to start with on day one. Don't try and set yourself up where you're going to fail. Don't try and say, I'm going to do 2.5 hours practice a day and I'm going to become the next Lang Lang in the... It's not going to work. It's just simply unattainable, and you're setting yourself up for failure. So why do it? Just start with such a small amount that you don't even notice the time out of your day. 5 minutes a day is a million times better than trying to do one session of 30 or 35 minutes a week. Regularity is the key here. Short sessions, keeping really focused, keeping really interested and completely in the world of practice. The very second you start to feel yourself doing what I would call autopilot, which is you're sitting there in a bit of a daze, not concentrating, that's it. Stop for the day, move on to something else, go watch TV, go bake a cake, do whatever you want, but stop playing your instrument, because that's the point where you don't improve. The other thing I would thoroughly recommend is something called interleaved practice. And the concept with this is to keep your brain awake. So let's say you're learning 3 different types of scales, a G major scale, a G minor scale, and then a kind of a blues scale. And let's say that you've decided you're going to do 80 minutes practice in total. So that's 6 minutes per scale. Instead of doing 6 minutes on the major scale, 6 minutes on the minor, and 6 minutes on the blues scale, it's by far better to do 2 minutes major, 2 minutes minor, 2 minutes blues, go back, 2 minutes major, and do that 3 times. Interleave practice. It keeps your mind awake, it keeps you fresh, and it keeps you excited. And because you're zipping from one task to another, it doesn't give you a chance to switch off and move into autopilot mode. I'd also really encourage you to start throwing in some unusual challenges. So that could be anything from trying to play a piece of music standing on one leg, or playing it backwards, or playing it in a dark room with no light. It could be trying to play it whilst you're having a conversation. It could be trying to play it whilst you're looking out of a window. It could be that every 4th note you skip and you don't actually play. The options and the possibilities of doing this are endless. What is the point in this? Well, several. One is, for sure, it keeps your mind awake again, and that's, I've already mentioned, something which is really important when you're practicing. But to understand how we learn is a relatively simple idea. And it's about neurons in your brain. It's about neural pathways. I only have a limited understanding of this, but it's enough for me to know how important this is. And my limited understanding is this. When you create a task, so let's say you play a C major scale, you're creating a neural pathway. You're creating a neuron in your brain. You do it twice. That pathway is the same pathway, and therefore it strengthens. It gets thicker, it gets more secure. You do it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 10 times, exactly the same. And it's like the trunk of a tree. It just gets stronger and stronger. Where the disadvantage is, if on the 11th time you play it differently, so you use a different finger or you play a different note, what that's going to do is override the neural pathway that you've created, and it's going to create an offshoot of a branch. So the next time you go to play the C major scale, your mind has got two options. It's going along the path it knows very well where there are no options, and then at the point where you change something, it's got two options. Does it go right and do the difference, or does it carry on the stronger pathway that you created? This is where focused practice and trying to always be as correct as you can, even if it means that you're doing something slowly. That's the key to this, because if you do that, you're going to strengthen the pathway. You're not going to give your brain options of doing things incorrectly, and therefore you will keep going and eventually be able to play what you need to play correctly. If you have the attitude where it doesn't really matter what fingers you put down, it doesn't really matter how you play it, if you have that attitude and every time you play it differently, then that's giving your brain so many options, it's going to get confused. And if you try and perform it to somebody, that's where your brain freezes and goes, I don't know which one to choose. So I hope that you've got some practice tips, and some of those tips will help you solve why learning a musical instrument is so hard.
Goals.
The last thing I want to say on the subject is set yourself a goal. So whether you're setting yourself a goal for your child or for yourself, goals are really important. We all like goals, and it shouldn't be a goal of in 12 months' time, if you're still playing, then you can, I don't know, have a new musical instrument or take yourself on holiday. There should be short-term, smaller goals, because those are the ones that you achieve and those are the ones that you tick off, you feel happy about. When you feel happy, you feel more motivated, and therefore if you're more motivated, you'll carry on playing and continue focusing. So I try and run my life in something called the 12-week year, which is most people see their lives in an arc, in a curve of January through to December. And in December they go, what did I do this year? What can I try and achieve next year? And what New Year's resolutions am I going to give myself to try and be a better person in many different ways the following year? But the problem is, you know, we all go through dips, don't we? We all start the year off with the best intention of the world to, I don't know, diet or stop drinking alcohol or stop smoking or be more productive at work or spend more time with the family. Whatever it may be, we all spend the first couple of months trying to do that, and successfully sometimes. And then towards the middle of the year, we all kind of dip a bit, don't we? And things not so great. And then as we're ramping up towards the end of the year, we tend to also ramp up those ideals again, because we recognize that we come into the end of the year and we want to make sure that we have achieved what we wanted to achieve. And then the next year comes and you do the same thing again and again and again. The only thing is, I say, well, why do you want to do that over a 12-month period? Do it over 12 weeks instead, because it's a much shorter period of time for you to analyze, for you to keep going, for you to keep your energy going. So a 12-week year for me is much more interesting. And in fact, there's a great book that I would recommend, 12-week year. You can get it on Amazon. I'll post the link in the show notes below. So I would encourage you to do that, to keep rewarding yourself, rewarding your child, and make sure that they always have a goal which they can achieve. I hope you found this podcast of use and interesting. If you know anybody who is learning a musical instrument, please do recommend that they listen to this. Again, I'd like to thank Lat56 for helping us with the podcast. Lat56 are an excellent luggage company. I tour all around the world with them and they never fail. In fact, I've literally stepped off a flight this morning from Switzerland with my Lat56 luggage. I have my laptop bag and my roller wheel case, which is also applicable for hand luggage on the plane. They're a great company, lat56.com. I would thoroughly recommend them. So from me, Robert Emery, over and out. Thank you very much.